No, for real though, that was a joke. I literally do not know everything. So I'm going to I'll try to answer some of these questions, and then I'm going to open it up to you, and you can, we can discuss. Don't think of it as my opinion, though, please. But maybe I know of something, I've researched something that I might be able to help you with when it comes to this area of music and worship, or anything we talked about. So it says, you mentioned rock bands having rhythmic guitars. Is a rhythmic guitar different from a regular one? Is playing guitar when singing always adding too much rhythm to music? This is a tough one because this, I believe the Lord works with you on some of these things. I'm not going to just say rhythm guitars are evil, you need to throw them in the garbage. Because you can use them, depending, here and there. My thought on it is I would much prefer an acoustical guitar over a rhythm guitar. Rhythm guitars were invented after rock music for the purposes of rock music, whereas an acoustic guitar, and the way they played guitar back then was, all of the classical guitar plucking, which would be polyphonic music. And then it changed over the course of time to more strumming, and that was more in the early 1900s where that started to change. And then it was more of a rhythm instrument. But before, it was very, very melodious. And it still, to this day, people play, classical acoustic guitar. And it's very beautiful, but it's very polyphonic when it comes to music. It lifts us higher. I don't know. When it comes to, you're playing rhythm with the guitar a lot of the time, and a lot of the time around campfires, and we're with youth, and I don't see a problem with that. Just know where you stand. Do know where you stand and be open to God and what He wants. For your life, God will direct you. If you are willing to be open in any area of your life, and you keep your closet doors wide open, God will direct you. God will tell you, you know what? I need you to get rid of this. And you might not ask the next person necessarily to, but you need to do what God is telling you when it comes. So my opinion on that, I personally won't go buying a rhythm guitar. I'm not going to say you're going to hell if you have a rhythm guitar, though. But I don't have a rhythm guitar just because I know when they were created and invented and what they were invented for. A lot of the time they've got like the fire things on. Like it's just it helps it's part of a culture. It just is part of the culture that it came from. Especially like the really new electrical ones. They've got like the I always think they look like devil's horns kind of thing, but. That's my opinion once again, and I'm not here to give my opinion necessarily. And then, is playing guitar when singing always adding too much rhythm to music? I think if it's done in balance. And when I say with that, if that's all of the music you ever did, then I'd probably say you might want to think about it. But when you're hanging out with friends and you're passionate and someone has a guitar around a campfire or whatever. I do believe you can praise the Lord with that. Just maybe do an a cappella song too. Switch it up. Don't do all one thing because the whole thing of the strumming all the time, the constant beat, it does things to our mind. It does. Does that answer your question? I don't know whose this was, and I'm not going to ask. The second one, are there any scriptures that support or speak against musical instruments? And where do different churches find basis to accept or reject instruments? I hope this isn't a trick question. I hope you're not just trying to see what I believe. I hope you're actually seeking. Yes. Do scriptures support or speak against musical instruments? That again is these are all really good questions, by the way. Very good questions. So I explained in the early church how they did music, and it kind of adopted the a cappella singing along the way because that's what they had back in the synagogues. The temple would have been the one but the temple was destroyed, so that was kind of the end of worship with instrumentation, if you know it, or as they knew it. I don't find in Scripture that musical instruments are wrong. I don't find it in Scripture. The musical terms of the Bible are actually linked back to instruments. God's going to blow a ram's horn. when he returns, a trumpet, the trumpet of the Lord, is going to sound. If we believe musical instruments are evil, we're not going to answer to God when he comes. So that kind of goes along with the whole dancing in Scripture. There are two kinds of dances in Scripture. There's the kind of dance that David did when he brought the Ark of the Covenant up from the Lord, and Michael, his wife, Saul's daughter, said, like, accused him. That was a different kind of dance than the dance that it literally meant beating time, like leading the people. He danced before the Lord, leading the people. It wasn't a sensual dance. It was not a sensual dance. Now, the dance that, so it talks about in Psalms about dancing before the Lord, all of that stuff, and a lot of people have these questions. Well, if they could dance back then, and they could clap and all of this stuff, and it even talks about cymbals. I mean, that's loud music. But the dancing back when Herod's daughter, was it, that danced before him for the head of John the Baptist? Am I getting that right? That was a sensual dance. That was for entertainment purposes. That was a very sensual. That was a sensual dance. There's two different kind of dances. And there's another dance. I think it's, I'm not sure if it's in the account of Samson. I can't remember. Anyway, I think there's two mentions of a sensual dance within the Bible. And it was very much for a purpose and for a reason. But that was kind of off subject. Where do different churches find basis to accept or reject instruments? This is a loaded question because I now have an opinion. My opinion about this is we are scared. The Bible doesn't talk that instruments are wrong, but we are scared that our youth, this is the leaders, I think, when they started, they're afraid of what could be. So it's basically safeguards, all right? The whole thing of not watching movies, it's for a safeguard for you. Don't prick it, or don't push against the pricks of your church, okay? If you're at a church, follow the guidelines. But I do think leaders of churches could do well in instructing the people on why it is wrong. What is the basis for worship? Why do we worship? What is this stuff, this music? And if we were educated in that way, you could allow instruments. You wouldn't have to worry that your congregation is going, if you had the hearts of your people and the people wanted to do what was right, you wouldn't have to necessarily make that standard. However, that standard is there, I think, for our protection. And the Bible talks about God gives ministry the ability to put into place standards and fences for our good. And it's not a wrong thing. So I'm not trying to throw away the ministry at all. It's not what I'm saying. But we could use more teaching. I feel if we had more teaching, we wouldn't have to be quite as strict in some of those churches that don't allow musical instruments. It's kind of like the radio. You know, so no radio in the car because you might be tempted to turn it on. Whereas if you would really know what's on the radio and what to be aware of and you know, how Satan might use the radio, I think it was more out of fear. This is opinion, though. I mean, you can correct me afterwards. I do think some ministry obviously do it because they love their congregation, and that's the whole reason behind safeguards. So where do different churches find basis to accept or reject instruments? I think that is one of the biggest reasons. The other thing, too, if you go back in time, they believed that as soon as you, God made you a musical being, and if you added instruments to your voice, you were corrupting the praise to God, because worship was supposed to be solely between you and God. And so by adding an instrument into your worship was corrupting, it's a man-made thing, right? God made your voice box, but he did not make instruments. That's a man-made thing. So their view was you're using man-made things to worship a holy God. And they still had that holiness. And that was Martin Luther's time, when they believed all that stuff and still did it. I'm not sure where the whole breakaway was when pianos were accepted in churches and that sort of thing, or organs. I know when organs first came into churches, they were of the devil, because it was a man-made instrument to worship a holy God. Man, how far we've come in culture now compared to what they believed back then. Two, I think it just wasn't an issue back in the churches back in those days. They adopted the practices of a cappella singing, and obviously it was good, and Paul talks about singing, and I think if it was an issue, Paul would have addressed it. But I don't think it was necessarily an issue back then. Does that make sense? You mentioned Bethel Church and their strange fire tunnel thing. Are our churches not somewhat weak on the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit? How do you discern what is truly the Holy Spirit and what is some other spirit? Very, very, very good question. It's this book. The Spirit will never, ever direct you into doing things that are against. If you don't know what you're doing writhing around on the ground, you're impaired. So we need to understand the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of tongues. So remember where it came out of, what culture it came out of, right? And what brought it about. So history did not have the gift of tongues until the 1940s or 50s there, when the Holy Flesh movement started. Paul had put an end to it. He said, I put away childish things. He's talking about speaking in tongues. So if you notice in the Bible, whenever speaking in tongues happened, it was for a purpose and for a reason, and God alone got glory. It always says that, and God was glorified. If we look in Acts, especially in the early church, what happened was they would be in with a large group of people from different nations, different languages, and when the Holy Ghost came upon them and they spoke in tongues, it wasn't some gibberish that no one understood. It says every time that the people that were there understood it in their own language, okay? So it served as a purpose back then to spread the gospel fast. And I believe God used that gift as a tongue, of tongues, for a purpose. Does it happen today? Yes, it does. It can still happen. It happens sometimes over in like other countries where there's a language barrier. Sometimes it will happen that you know, someone will speak in tongues and they understand it in their own language, but it never ever contradicts Scripture. Those fire tunnels and stuff, that Spirit is very much moving them to do things that they should not be doing. So you just want to be careful about that. The gift of tongues was for a time only. And then Paul commanded, you know, said, put that aside. It's creating confusion within the church. This is no longer a thing that's needed. And that's when it stopped, and it came back after the satanic music came along. Is the church somewhat weak in the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit? I think sometimes we don't avail the power that we have with the Holy Spirit. So I'm not sure how to answer that without sounding too judgmental. And then how do you discern what is truly the Holy Spirit? And once again, I think it goes back to Scripture. Think of the Spirit as, my dad explained it this way one time, the Spirit is like a big ship on the sea and you have sails. The Spirit fills your sails. And when it fills your sails, it moves you into the direction that you're supposed to be going. So when the Spirit fills your sails, so to speak, when you are filled with the Spirit, it will move you towards godliness, towards closer to God. It never ever will move you away. If it does, it is not the Spirit. It is not the Holy Spirit. That makes sense? Any other questions? Boogie woogie stuff, like kind of a boogie thing, a boogie tune kind of stuff. To wrong music?
Yeah.
No, and I kind of take that view too. Once again, I think it's opinion. You have to do what you feel right. I feel like with that kind of music, it's not necessarily like the timing's wrong, you know? It's a good tool to teach. You could use it as a tool. It's a good tool to teach rhythm. It's a good tool. But if that's what you're worshiping God with, if that's what you're, you know, your soul craving is for, then I think it's a problem. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I've grappled with that one too because growing up, my mom did never let us play that stuff and kind of form my own opinions about it, but I know like piano books do have that, and I think it's mostly there for teaching timing and stuff. Now, there are some witch songs and that sort of thing, which I don't know. Any other questions? That was not really a good answer. Sure. The country scene is not removed. It's within our churches. So we follow the world just like a few generations back. And I'm not trying to pick on anyone, but I know of a lot of Markham youth that love their country music. And I feel like it's actually more of a Mennonite thing. Mennonites really love their country. That gentleman that kind of ended up with a lot of his music on my, this is primarily country. And when I drove around with him out there, like he drove me a couple places, very country. My question is, how can you use music that came from satanic culture like that, rock and roll, and put it with the words of do your own thing, literally? Okay, there's God country music, there is. But the country scene is very much get in bed with whoever you want, and this person ran off, and my dog died. There's good stuff out there too. Is it right? Is it something we should feed our minds? Is it part of the mind of Christ? I don't know. I feel I would say country music is wrong, simply because it doesn't bring you closer to God. It's very, very relaxed. Whenever it speaks of God, it's always speaking in a very relaxed tone. Remember, God is a jealous God. If you view God as a relaxed God, you have created an idol of God, and you no longer worship the true God. And I feel sometimes that country music has created that, he's my friend, he's my buddy, you know, it's okay, everything's going to be all right. Kind of, and we've reduced God to us, to our person, to our level. And we can sing little love songs to him and stuff. And so I personally don't think it's right, just simply because it feeds our flesh. It's very fleshly. When it comes to Southern Gospel, some people think Southern Gospel is good. I don't care for Southern Gospel, but I do think Southern Gospel, like bluegrass especially, I can't really find necessarily a basis. Like bluegrass didn't come out of this necessarily. I do think you just got to be careful, that's all, because there's a lot of mix. A lot of mix that comes into bluegrass. And then the whole, I find bluegrass just, once again, kind of treats God as an equal. That's more or less what I would caution for. But as for the music itself, and once again, I'm still figuring this out myself. I'm working on what God shows me different places. But, you know, when you're hearing a song and it's so good, and just for like one verse of the stanza, they have like a beat, and it's not a very prominent, it's just a very relaxed one. Is that music wrong? You know, you tell me. I think you have to, that's where I'm not going to tell you what to do. I think you have to really think about it, and God will ask God to show you. Does that answer your question, kind of? So you're saying if an artist that was secular becomes... Oh, was Christian and then goes secular. That's a tough one too. You know, if an artist was a Christian and then goes into secular, I think it just kind of shows where that music takes you a little bit, if you can judge on music. But if they're an artist, then their life is music. And that music obviously took them there. Do you want to follow? I'm not saying that the songs they wrote previous were necessarily wrong. Like that's the whole thing. It's the great question. What do I listen to? May I listen to this? May I not listen to that? So remember, spiritual things first, mental things second, physical things last. If it feeds your flesh, if you like it because it sounds good, probably putting physical things first. But we can use that in so many. We can use that in movies. We can use that in pornography. It's such a fleshly thing. That principle stands for every aspect of your life. Whether or not you buy a truck, does that truck make you feel good? Why are you buying that truck? You know, if we start really analyzing some of this stuff, it makes a huge difference. Sorry, I was not picking on guys with trucks. So that's not at all what I'm trying to do. Anything else? Yes, I truly believe that with singers as well. I never mentioned it, but yes. That's another thing I really grapple with too is, as young people, what are you going to do with your children? This is something to think about now before you have children. But what are you going to tell them? It's like my wife, and I'm going to be just open about this. My wife likes like the shine on her fingernails. I was like, but honey, what if we have a daughter and she wants to color them red or black or, you know, whatever. I personally don't agree with that. However, well, you can have shine that enhances the color, you know. So where's your standards? Where are you drawing the line? And you can't just tell your children that you're drawing the line, because you know what happens when your parents tell you that and don't give you a reason? It doesn't make you very happy. So if you draw the line somewhere, you need to know why. I think the biggest thing we fail to do is teaching why, the why of what we do. Because without the why, there's no sticking to standards or traditions or anything, unless the person really has a heart for God. And I'm telling you, today's society, it is hard to keep passionate about Christ. But yeah, definitely the same thing. If you start looking, just Google some of the Mercy Me, Jars of Clay, Casting Crowns. We'd never in a million years come to church looking like that. Long hair, the clothes, the tattoos. Oh, these all happened before I was a Christian. Yeah, this cross one too. You know, it's not. If you start analyzing the lives they live, a lot of them are into drugs, are into the same kind of lifestyle, just a wee little bit back from the world. And following right along, though. But yeah, good question. Is that everything? All right. Thank you so very much for allowing me to maybe tread on your toes a little bit. But I appreciate each one of you, and do be a radical Christian. And when I mean radical, I'm not meaning like the world. Be a radical Christian and stand alone. Take a stand on what Christ wants you to stand for, and he will lead and guide you in all truth.